What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock, and today is February 27th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. We have Jose Urania going to the Mets in a minor league deal with Sean Manaea and Frankie Montas on the shelf. It's not a surprise for the Mets that somebody on the ultra cheap to then be a depth option if they were in an absolute emergency. Do not expect Urania to get any serious innings or anything like that this year. It should not be good if he does. And Davis Daniel was optioned by Atlanta to AAA. Again, we didn't think he was going to make the rotation for Atlanta on opening day. But it does mean that any glimmer of hope we had for Davis Daniel is now gone, save for everyone else getting injured. Statcast games from yesterday that were also on TV. Tarek Skubal was dope and he hit 100. Ty Madden wasn't impressive enough for me to do anything. Andrew Morris is a prospect for the Twins. He has a variety of pitches at 95, but I'm not really seeing some major impact there. There's Corey Lewis for the Twins. He's a prospect. 2 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 1 walk, and 2 Ks. He's really cool. He throws super over the top. And yeah, the four-seamer at an 89 and with high vert, but it's super steep. So is that really that good of vert, right? We see that from Pivetta. That's fine. And there's like a slider and like you're not really going to get excited by that, except he throws a knuckleball. And he throws a knuckleball at the low to mid 80s. I think we saw one like 87 or something like that, which is ridiculous. If you think about the best knuckleballs of old, it's really usually around the 70s. You have the slow, the middle, and the hard of like slow was Wakefield, middle was Dickey. At times it would be like low 80s, and then you have Stephen Wright kind of in there too, around mid to high 70s. But you don't see a mid 80s knuckleball. That's a really, really difficult pitch to hit. It's also a really difficult pitch to catch. And if Corey Lewis is actually able to get like a 60%+ strike rate on those knuckleballs, yeah, he's just going to throw that, which is pretty dang cool. You don't want to trust knuckleballers, but I don't know, it could actually work. And I think baseball is better with a knuckleballer being a thing. Wasker Noah sadly won't be a thing. He's at 91, 92, not like the 95, 96 we saw of old. Yeah, no thanks. Will Warren looked great. 3 innings of 0 runs, 0 hits, 0 walks, and 4 strikeouts. Now, I want to see more changeups to lefties because I feel like that is the real question mark pitch for him. The sliders are good. The sinker command is good. It's just really just make sure you have that changeup locked in, and he didn't really throw it much. But obviously, the results were good. And we are going to be seeing a lot of Will Warren this year. Just remember, with that rotation of Rodon and with Cole and Max Fried, Clark Schmidt and Luis Gil, something's going to break there. And Stroman likely is on another team by opening day. The Yankees don't really want to hold on to him, I think, at this point. So that means that Will Warren's their SP number 6. The Yankees might hold on to Stroman just because he's just because they need depth. They don't really have anything after Will Warren. So I can understand them holding on to Stroman and then actually sending maybe Schmidt or Luis Gil. I think it's going to be Gil who has options out of that rotation, which is a possibility. I know that sounds crazy, but if Stroman's on that team, they don't demote him. Do they just put him in long relief, or maybe they just put him in rotation? I don't know. Long story short, Will Warren is going to be called upon for a lot of depth this year, and the way I see it, he's going to be a Toby the second he shows up. I know it was really bad last year for Will Warren. I think he's a much better pitcher than what we saw. Michael McGreevy, 2 innings of 0 runs, 0 hits, 0 walks, and 2 Ks. And really with the Cardinals, I see Quinn Matthews and I see Michael McGreevy as two guys I think the Cardinals will lean on for their depth throughout the year when there are problems there. Tink Hentz was not very impressive. He didn't have the best quality fastball and this changeup was a little weird and all this stuff. So 600 runs and 1.1 innings there. I think we're going to have to wait longer for Hentz this year. Not just because of the start, just because he really need to have a super impressive spring to really vault him up higher in my view. But maybe not. McGreevy is a command guy, and it has a sinker that can go inside, effectively with the right-handers, and all this kind of stuff that really made me be like, oh, Michael McGreevy, I see what you're doing. That's kind of fun. He also added a tick of velocity in 93 here. Could be the shorter stint, but, you know, every little bit helps. So if that's a real thing, that's cool, too. Jose Berríos was Jose Berríos, and whatever. Good luck with that. Joe Ross and Seth Johnson appeared for the Phillies. Seth Johnson is an ultra-depth piece. You can kind of forget about this. Joe Ross was signed to a one-year, $4 million contract. So it wasn't an NRI, that is a non-roster invitee for spring training. They actually signed him. So I imagine he's going to be a backup option for them this year. And the slider is still legit. He's down two ticks, though. And you'd imagine that for a guy like Joe Ross, he's trying to prove that he still has everything in the tank and to come out and showcase 92-93 as opposed to like 94-95. I feel as if that's not really a ramping thing. That is a, oh, you are now going to be likely around there. The White Sox had a lot of fun guys yesterday. Sean Burke went 2 innings of 0 runs, 1 hit, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts. It's the same thing, 94-95, actually 95-96 on that four-seamer, 18 inches of vert as well, 7 feet of extension. He has sliders that were thrown like dancing with a disco to right-handers and a big curve that earned whiffs against left-handers. The four-seamer command is still a little weird. He is trying to go upstairs a ton, and that's really cool. And I think that's the biggest question I have about Burke is, do you have good enough command to make this three-pitch mix excellent? Because I think it's a case where if you're on the White Sox, you're not going to get wins, really. And you need to be exceptional for us to really lean into you. So if Burke isn't quite putting it all together, he can still be good, but it's not really enough for us to really consider it. That said, I got really excited about Sean Burke last year because out of nowhere, I saw this guy with 95-96 with that extension and vert. And I'm like, what? And you have whiffable sliders and curves? What? It's just, when that just appears suddenly, I get excited because obviously now we need to be aware of him. So, Sean Burke, in your AL-only teams, I'm in. 15-teamers, maybe? But 12-teamers, I feel like the win potential is so low, and there's still some question mark about how good his command is that I might be out. I can still see myself streaming and being sold if the sliders and curves are still getting all these whiffs. Bryce Wilson, okay, not really that interesting. He's dancing on the disco via curveballs to right-handers and then cutters and changeups to lefties, but at least he's not leaning to this 93-mile-per-hour sinker. He did add some extra inches, like 2 to 3 inches on that horizontal break, so there is a world where Bryce Wilson jams right-handers with sinkers and has curveballs over the plate too, has a good cutter and changeup, and actually gets through starts when the White Sox start him. He's technically their SP5, I think, right now. Yeah, I know. I do not want to go for Bryce Wilson, but maybe there is a desperate streaming Toby thing going on in 15-teamers. Noah Schultz and Hagen Smith also appear. Look, they're both stellar lefties. Both throw 97. All right. When they come up to the majors, you add them. Schultz should be before Hagen Smith because Schultz has been in the minors. Well, Hagen Smith was drafted last season, though he was a college pitcher, which means he's more developed and can move up quicker. I just don't think the White Sox really need to push them. And when they do, you add them instantly. Ryan Burgett went for the Padres. He went 2 innings of 0 runs, 2 hits, 0 walks, and 2 strikeouts. Yeah, I don't love him. It's 94-95 with solid vert, and he does actually command upstairs, which is cool. The slider is generally spotted well, too, and that's nice, but he doesn't really have a good attack angle, doesn't have good extension. Just doesn't seem like it's enough for this to really work with Ryan Burgett, but maybe there's more to unlock here. All right, we have other guys to talk about. Something really, really exciting, not just for the Athletics, but also for the Marlins and a lot of other games. We're going to talk about all of this after this break. So we have the Rangers, sorry, not the Rangers, but the Mariners with George Kirby. 1 inning, 1 run, 0 hits, 2 walks, and 1 strikeout. I know, 2 walks from Kirby in 1 inning. He threw 2 cutters to lefties, which is kind of cool. Like, hey, all right, maybe the cutter is a thing. And 4-seamers are actually up and out of the zone to lefties, which is likely a thing that he's testing and trying to work with. So he only threw 2 pitches to righties. So, like, obviously ignore this. Vitaly Feliz, I just want to mention, he's 36 now. And I remember him being like 22 or 23 and adding him to my teams in a keeper league a long time ago and being really excited about this fireballer from Texas, or in, you know, part of Texas's team. And you know, I'm it's cool to see. I'm rooting for him. He's throwing 91-92, so it's not really gonna work, but it's just cool to see it. Joey Estes for the Athletics, went 2 innings, 1 run, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 1K. He started it, Estes did, and I think we've been considering Estes outside of this rotation for the Athletics, but the way that they're using him here as the starter with Mitch Spence after makes me think maybe Estes has the inside track. He's not doing anything different. He still has that command upstairs with his four-seamer, which is fine. Like, that's what makes him work, I think. And he doesn't have a velocity bump. It is exactly what it was, but he's fighting for a spot. So I think that's what we're going to get. But yeah, I kind of hope they don't go with Estes. And I'm not seeing, like, Estes is a command guy who needs more stuff. So I was hoping for velocity to be the thing. but that's not the thing. So we'll see. Mitch Spence, though. Oh, my gosh. I was actually saying this to Eno on the AL West Sleepers podcast that we did on The Craft. And Spence, well, I said, hey, he has a cutter and a slider that PLV absolutely adores because of the location of it and it's good movement. It's not super hard, though. It's like a 90, 91 mile per hour cutter and like an 84 mile per hour slider. And if Spence could find the velocity to make that like 93, 94 on the cutter and then like 87 on the slider, then there might actually be something. And guess what? That's what he did. That's what he did. Mitch Spence is throwing a 93, 94 mile per hour cutter. The sinker went up three ticks to 94, 95. The slider is actually at 85, 86, which is only like a tick up, but it has more movement. I'm like really intrigued by this. Mitch Spence, I think, was already really kind of cool. Good command of that cutter and slider, better than like Graham Ashcraft, who does like the cutter, slider, sinker thing. I'm just like, yo, I want to pay attention to this. I mean, it was 2 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 1K. I think this works. Like, if this is real, Mitch Spence sitting 93, 94 on the cutter with that movement and location and also having the same gains with the sinker and slider, like, yeah? Yeah, that's going to be, I think, the best athletic starter. Sorry, Beto. I know that's how, or Beto. Maybe, I mean, honestly, you know, turned me a little bit in favor of Beto because of the unexpected movement on the fastball and sinker, though the command is really bad. I'm not quite there, but I can see it more now for Beto. While this is just clear of like Spence having a cutter and slider, they're both great. And now he's throwing them 2 to 3 ticks harder. That seems really cool. Okay, other games. We have the Pittsburgh Pirates, Bailey Falter and Carson Fulmer. Nothing to really report here. Falter is the same velocity, does not have the changeup I'm kind of hoping for, and I wish he goes to the Rays. Carson Fulmer is going to be a depth option for the Pirates, and nothing there. We got our first look, not on the TV, but on data with Tomoyuki Sugano. Right-hander, new with the Orioles. He's their number 5. 2 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, 0 Ks. He does look like a command guy. He has a splitter for left-handers. He located it well, didn't get a strikeout. Right, he did dot it, though. And he did dot also like fastballs and stuff down and away to right-handers. He looks like a Toby. And there might be some rare days they get some strikeouts when it's a lefty-heavy lineup and he really is nailing down that splitter. But this is not a 12-team play, say, for streaming options. Or if you really need to go for innings or wins, maybe Sugano would be good. Maybe whip? Maybe? I don't know. I think he's going to be like just out of the range of what is good for a 12-teamer. 15-teamers, if you don't need strikeouts, like Sugano could be effective, actually. We got to talk about Miami. Oh, boy. Here's the other one. It's not just Mitch Spence with the increased velocity. No. Max Meyer went 1 inning. It was 1 inning, so it could be max effort. 0 runs, 0 hits, 1 walk, 0 Ks. I have not been excited about Max Meyer since he's come up, right? He had a slider, and that was it. And I remember actually doing his gift breakdown initially before I think he got Tommy John, being like, it's just a slider, and I'm not really seeing anything else. Now, his velocity went from 94 last year to 96.4. 96, 97. Okay, fine. His height adjusted VAA was 0.9. And when I say this, guys, it's like, it just means that that's neutral. It's what the batter expects. All right. It went to 1.6, which is absurdly flat. Think 1.2 height adjusted VAA as like, oh, hey, now you're getting somewhat flat. Remember, flat just means it's good at the top of the zone, worse down at the bottom of the zone. So when we talk about four seamer whiffs, you want flat. You want it above 1.2. 1.6 is elite. It's like 90th, 95th percentile. And at that velocity, it means that when you have a flat attack angle and you can throw it upstairs, it just means that there are fewer intersection points with the bat. It's about timing. So you limit the margin of error for hitters. And it's a timing thing. And also throwing harder, 2.4 ticks harder is also making it harder to time. He's just made his four-seamer absurdly hard to hit now. And all he was a slider guy before. Oh yeah, that slider, by the way, it was already elite before, 88 miles per hour. It has pretty much the same movement. At 4 ticks harder. 92 mile per hour slider with that elite movement and this 96.4 mile per hour fastball that can now get whiffs upstairs like effectively. What? This is insane to me. Apparently he went back to his college arm slot, which is lower, which makes sense. That's height adjusted VAA changing. And it's clearly his natural arm slot. So if this comes with the command that we've seen in the past from Max Meyer, which is generally good, oh my gosh, am I in. This is an insane two-pitch combination. And it's not like he had nothing else. It was really just like it was a good slider, but everything else was eh. And that eh can be fine as your number 3, 4, and 5 if you have this fastball and this slider. Pay attention to this. It's one inning. It could be weird data, but hot dang, if this is real, seems like it's real because the arm angle is different, but my gosh, Max Meyer is just completely shooting up my draft board. I mean, I'm talking like I would take a risk on him in the 70s in my 12 teamers. Like I'm aggressive on this just because, all right, if it isn't it, I just drop it and move on. Like that's where you are in your 12 teamers. Oh my gosh. All right. Dax Fulton. I also pitched here. He's a prospect for me. He's a 7 feet of extension, 94 mile per hour from the left side for Miami. Nah, it's not really enough. It was a sweeper for lefties, and he has a slider down and into righties. It's interesting. It's not enough for me to really pay attention. Ronnie Enriquez, if he's a starter, I think he's kind of cool because he has his 95, 96 mile per hour four seamer at 18 inches of vert and stupid flat release. Like it's 1.6 like Meyer, but I think he's a reliever, so. Never mind. He does have three pitches. He actually throws that four-seamer third among the changeup and slider. So I just feel like someone should grab him and turn him back into a starter. I don't know. That's just me. Paul Blackburn pitched. Then, yeah, I guess he's starting, huh? Okay. He didn't even throw a single fastball on 7 pitches. Michael Walker looks the same. He is 0.6 mile per hour harder on a four-seamer, I should say, which is a little surprise because you expect it to be lower at this point. But maybe it's just a hot gun thing in Kansas City. Maybe it's just Waka feeling great right now and then it doesn't stick. I'm not going to put much stock into it. If he does get a velo bump as we go on, though, Michael Waka's a little more interesting, but honestly, he's kind of the same. Daniel Lynch, the fourth, doesn't do anything to get me excited. Jonathan Bolin, unfortunately, he lost 4 inches of vert on his four seamer. We saw 18 inches last year. Now it's at 14. And no, I can't buy that. Noah Cameron, though, should be on your radar. He is a prospect for the Kansas City Royals from the left side. And he showcased in his first game, I didn't know if it was real, about 3 mile per hour uptick from last year. It was at 92, now it's at 95. This is a prospect again. So what I liked about him before was they had a really good feel for his changeup against right-handers and his big curveball. Now what he's flexed here was not the 13% usage cutter, but actually now a 90 mile per hour cutter, a little bit harder, that he got 4 whiffs on. And he had a good changeup, a good curve as well. And then this 95 with the fastball. And I considered him as a good command guy who needed something extra. Now it's 3 ticks harder. And I know the results, 2 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, 1K is not really what you want. But I actually think Cameron will get a chance this year in the Royals rotation. And with Chris Bubich as your 5, you have Alec Marsh as your 6 and Daniel Lynch as your 7. Like Noah Cameron could easily find his way into that rotation at some point. And I think he's an auto add the moment he gets in there. Ryan Feltner and whatever, doesn't matter. Okay, guys, you have Nathan Eovaldi, 3 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. He's down a tick to 94. Who cares? It doesn't really matter. And Dane Dunning, nothing new. He got some strikeouts because he had a good slider against righties. Gavin Williams pitched 2 innings, 0 runs, 0 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. Eric Smolski went and talked to him, and he talked to all the Guardians in spring training, and I'm not going to spoil any of that. Go read his stuff. It's really insightful. We've been chatting about it. Definitely go look into it. He has some insights on Gavin that I'm not going to share here. But what I do see from the data is that he got more vert, 17 and 18 inches, which is great. He's at 97, which is great. And it did drop extension-wise from 7.2 to 6.8. His height-adjusted VA went from 0.9 to 0.6. What the data says is that maybe the arm angle is a little bit different. That he went a little bit steeper to get more vert. I don't know. I'm curious to see more about it. It does look like the slider, though, looks really good. And it looks like it's an actual slider as opposed to like the cutter versus slider. And we didn't see any of the cutters at like 91 or so, which I hope to see. But this slider looks like a really good two-plane difference from the four-seamer. And it went 3 for 8 whiffs. I'm a big fan of it. I think those two together, as long as he has that slider working, he's throwing 97, he's able to actually keep that upstairs like he did here. I'm still very much in about Gavin Williams, even if that attacking was a little bit different. You have Corbin Burns and Dre Jameson. Dre Jameson's throwing 98. That's cool, but he's not doing anything else with pitch shape, and it explains why he doesn't get whiffs with it. And he's probably going to be a reliever, so whatever. And Corbin Burns, man, he didn't get the same drop that he had last year. It was like 7 to 8 inches of vert, which essentially means drop, right? Relative to the 11 that he just showcased. Now, it was like 12 and 13, and I loved seeing the 12-13 induced vertical break go to like 7 and 8 at the end of last year. I was like, oh, cool, here's your new cutter, or the old one, really back in form. And this was at 11 and change, which is still better than the, you know, before August cutter from Corbin Burns. But it's not the brand new one, or like the improved one. So I'm just going to wait until we see more. It was a down tick, too. Maybe that affected it. We'll see. I really want that to be under 10. Of that induced vertical break on that cutter, and that's really going to make me confident. Otherwise, I might move him down to like SP8 or something like that. A few more here. We've got AJ Smith-Shawver, 2 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 0 walks, 3 Ks. We didn't get any data. Looks good, and these are all guys without data moving forward. He's probably going to get number 5 spot eventually, considering that's Anderson. And even with Strider coming back at some point, like, you got to think that there's things that are going to go on there. So curious what we see from Shawver moving forward. Cool is there, whatever. Chad Cool. Tyler Anderson, sure. Thomas Pannone, no. Nick Lodolo didn't have a good game. 3 walks in 1.2 innings. We're hoping to really see more from that, and hopefully we get it moving forward. Tony Gonsolin, Yamamoto pitch. There's nothing really to report here. I do think that Dustin May has a number 5 spot, and Eno did suggest about a 6-man rotation for the Dodgers before Otani, but the thing is, in April, they get a lot of off days, and they might not need one. So I don't know where they fit in Gonsolin. It might be just long relief as they hold on to him. Maybe some piggyback stuff is involved too. And then you have Hurz walking some guys, not looking as best as we want, but I'm sure they'll flatten out. And nothing really else. Like, Framber went fine, Hunter Dobbins, Jackson Rutledge. There were prospects with the Rays, but we got no data nor video. Ian Seymour and, you know, Correa. Jordan Hicks went 3 Ks in 1 walk in 1.1 innings, and hopefully he has found something that will return a 60%+ strike rate in his secondaries consistently. That could make him a sleeper, because it looks like they're going to have them in rotation, Jordan Hicks. That's kind of cool. And Caleb Killian and Shohei Imanaga. Imanaga had a rough third inning, 2 home runs in there, hit by pitch, but he had 6 Ks in 2.2 innings, so we're cool. And Caleb Killian, I didn't get data, and I needed data to just understand if that is a 96, 97 mile per hour fastball with good extension still. I don't know. He's fighting to get into that rotation, but I don't think he's going to at this point. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for your support. Make sure you read the whole article on the site. And of course, we have PL Pro and PL Plus on our site. We actually lowered the price of PL Plus to just $60 a year because we want you guys to experience the community and enjoy these articles ad-free. In addition, we have some major things we're announcing about PL Pro next week, so stay tuned for that. All right, that is it. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your bounce too low and your strikeouts high.